You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's time to line them up. Opening lines, line moves, and how money is moving the sports betting market. Line them up with Joe Ostrowski and Joe Giglio. Get ready to place your bets.
Welcome back, hour two here on BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm Aaron Hawksworth alongside Joe Ostrowski and Joe Giglio, and it is time to line them up. So what we're going to do is take a look at the NFL games that we really like this weekend. So it's kind of going to be a round robin. We'll go through some of the games we like, and we'll start with Joe G. Tell us, Joe, start with one of the games that you are really keeping your eye on, whether you're already placed a bet or just something you like in general.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Niners at the Eagles on Sunday, 1 o'clock in Philadelphia, home opener for the Eagles. Obviously, they, you know, new coach, new starting quarterback at home. His first year as a starter now, Jalen Hurts. I think this game, you ever have a game once in a while where your first read is exactly how it kind of looks on the board? Like when I first saw when I looked at the schedule for this week, before I looked at any of the lines or anything, just off of what we saw last week with the Niners winning in Detroit, Eagles winning in Atlanta, I said, my first thought was like 27-24 Niners. It felt like a Niners win, but I think the Eagles would keep it close. I think it's high scoring. Well, you look at FanDuel, the total is 50.5, which is right around where I'm talking about. The spread is 3.5 in favor of the Niners. If you look at the total points, you could, you know, wager on either team. Niners, the away team points is 27. The home team points is 23.5. Like, this game feels like it's lined up on the board exactly the way I thought it would be. I think the Eagles are going to move the football on the Niners. They're going to miss Jason Verrett, their corner, who went out last week, and they couldn't stop the Lions after that. I just am interested to see, can the Philadelphia Eagles defense, which was really good last week against Matt Ryan, do it again? Because if they can, we got to start paying attention to them. The one thing about last week, they were very willing to let the Falcons run the ball. No explosive plays. Go ahead. You want 6 yards a pop? You want 5 yards? Take 15 plays to get down the field. The Niners do that better. The Niners do that as well as anybody. They'll just take those 8-yard runs. That's, to me, that's where the game is. Can they kind of stop them in the red zone and keep this close?
Yeah, no doubt. That's the key right there. And are the Eagles going to be as efficient in the red zone? 3 for 3 with touchdowns last week. Terrific run at home. Lincoln Financial, they're 5-1 against the spread over their last 6 games. But something I just keep going back to is San Francisco and Detroit a week ago. And I don't want to put too much on that one game. Is I kind of wrestle with, okay, do we look at this Lions team and say they're going to fight, or do we look at it and completely throw it out and say that San Francisco dominated 58 minutes of that game? It was 41-17 when they were at that 2-minute warning. Yards per play, they had 8, second best in the league last week. They had the best explosive play rate. So is that going to continue? Because you're right, that's it. The Niners offense against the Eagles defense. Which side has the advantage? I would go with San Francisco just because of the way the game is played right now. Give me Shanahan and his play calling there. But the Verrett thing is going to be big. How much are they going to use Mitchell, and what's he going to be able to do? I think it's a fascinating game, and it's 3.5. It was 3 for a short period of time. It opened at 3, but 3.5, it hasn't moved much here. Juice a little bit on the Eagles side. I do like San Francisco -3.5, but it wouldn't surprise me if this ends up being a field goal game.
Mm-hmm. All right, I kind of like Philly here. The Niners, back-to-back games on the East Coast. I think they're staying in, like, West Virginia. They lost Verrett, as Joe G mentioned. Now Raheem Mostert. I think it's going to kind of go back to last year. I mean, it's injury after injury. It's only after 1 week. They're probably – the players on the Niners in the locker room might be going, oh, great. Here we go again. I mean, I don't know. That could be what's going through their head. It could be sort of a defeating type of mindset. They're not at home. They're probably out of sorts on the East Coast. They can't sleep in their own beds. I think that catches up to them. The Eagles look good. They're a young, talented team. Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith. These guys are probably licking their chops. And I think Philly has a lot of confidence and a lot of momentum. I'm leaning on maybe taking Philly with the upset.
Something that I think is worth pointing out, because Shanahan knows what he's doing with the East Coast trips. And so when you have the back-to-back roadies, like you mentioned, he stays out there, which I think is the right approach. Two bad teams. However, last year, he had the same thing early in the season. It was weeks 2 and 3. He had the Jets and Giants in back-to-back weeks. Took out the Jets 31-13. Took out the Giants 36-9. So it's interesting. I do like it when I see coaches that have a couple games back-to-back weeks in that Eastern time zone and they stay out there instead of forcing these guys to travel back and forth.
All right, Joe O, tell us your first game that you've got your eye on that you really like this week.
Okay, this was not expected. This is not a game that I've talked a whole lot about over the course of the week, but here I am. There are a lot of people that are going to say, oh, man, the Raiders, they got lucky in that game, and they kind of did. Like, the Ravens kind of handed them the game at the end with their inability to manage the clock. However, I think too many people are just saying, short week, flying across the country, you got to roll with the Steelers. The number always matters. And with this number of 5.5, it's just too much for me. Why did the Steelers upset the Bills? Well, there were some very fluky things that happened, including a late turnover and a punt return for a touchdown. Did they move the ball? No, not really. They were 28th in yards per play in the entire league last week. Now, they have the outstanding defense, but when you look at that box score, I mean, the Bills dominated. They ran 24 more plays than the Steelers. Their offensive line still stinks. Like, they're right there with the Giants, worst in the league. And we saw Ngakoue and Crosby get after it on Monday night. So we could see a repeat there. Carr was terrific against that Ravens defense, especially once we got past the first quarter. After the first quarter, on throws at least 10 yards down the field, Carr was 8-for-12 in the game. He had a lot of explosive plays from that Raiders offense. If we can see a little bit of that, it's not going to be as much because you're going to get to Steelers D, but if we see a little bit of that explosion, I love Vegas getting 5.5 points here.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's a lot of points. And you look at yards per play last week, Vegas around top 10, Steelers bottom 5. Like, just one team. And like, I watched the game. I watched a little bit of the replay last night, NFL Network. Ben can't throw anymore. Like, Ben Roethlisberger can't throw the football. That's a problem. Like, that, it's going to be hard to win and score consistently without the quarterback throwing the football. I'm with you. I think the Raiders side's the right play.
I think this is a really tough spot for the Raiders. On the road, short week. We all remember that the Raiders won that Monday night football game, But it was 17-10 heading into the fourth quarter. Let's not let the excitement of the fourth quarter and the overtime make us forget that wasn't the best quality game that we saw from the Raiders. Mm-hmm. They did make mistakes on Monday night. I don't see them going on the road on a short week and beating the Steelers. I just don't see it.
I got an angle we could play on this. So you talk about Ben being terrible. We saw the Raiders pass rush get after Lamar. Steelers, team total, under 26.5. Doesn't seem way too high?
It does.
Yeah.
What's that?
Good.
What's that number again?
26.5.
26.5.
When you said Steelers team total, I was expecting you to say something closer to 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're missing the key number 27, but are they getting past 21?
24-21 Steelers.
They might have to score on special teams or defense again.
Right, exactly.
For them to get past that number.
Plus, Gruden in September, that's when you bet him. I mean, the Raiders fade every year, late.
Feel good.
All right, should we move on?
About it. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take Vikings at Cardinals. Vikings plus 3.5, and I feel so dirty doing this because I make fun of Kirk Cousins all of the time, but I'm really thinking about rolling with Kirk and the Vikings. I think the Cardinals will regress after that shocking 38-13 upset over the Titans. I mean, what are the chances Chandler Jones has 5 sacks for a second straight week? And what are the chances that Kyler Murray throws for 5 touchdowns again against a better Minnesota defense? In the Vikings' week one loss to the Bengals, Minnesota's defense only surrendered 6 points in the game's final 34 minutes. The Vikings could have won that game last week if it weren't for a questionable call on what the referees ruled a Dalvin Cook fumble. So, how dare I say it? Going Vikings.
Ooh.
Tough. It's not a crazy play. I mean, these two teams probably aren't that different in terms of overall skill level. Like, they're probably both 8-ish win teams, 9-ish win teams on talent. There's a bad vibe around the Vikings, though. I after last week, I can't ignore it. I mean, I think on like just the matchup, Aaron, I think you're probably on the right side. Like, this could be a really close game. I could see that, but I just, like, the coach hates the players. The players hate the coach. And how do they block Chandler Jones? I know he's not gonna get 5 sacks. I don't know how they block him. And we all know Kirk Cousins. Like, I'll say my good things about him, but when pressure comes, Kirk's dumping it to the running back and getting a completion and not worrying about the sticks. Like, he doesn't handle pressure well. I think it's a difficult game to call. I think it's a high scoring game. I like the over in the game.
So the line movement is interesting. The look ahead before they played last week, it was Arizona -3. Then the reaction to the Cardinals looking terrific against the Titans, and then the Vikings just giving it up in overtime to the Bengals, it goes to 4.5. And now we're back at 3.5. So let's come back to that look ahead number. Patrick Peterson revenge game. Maybe there's something going on there. Here's Patrick Peterson. Here's your revenge game. You get to go against Hopkins all game. Have fun with all that. Kyler off his 5 touchdown game. Chandler Jones off his 5 sack game. So you got Chandler Jones going up against a pathetic Vikings offensive line. I mean, here's the problem for me. Every story has been negative with the Vikings. A lot of penalties last week. Their offensive line was called for 11 penalties alone. So they might be in trouble there. Last 8 games, the Vikings are 0-8 against the spread. I don't want to step out and say this is the game that they're going to cover. It's been 8 consecutive games they have not covered. Cardinals offense was so explosive last week. It was against a terrible defense, so we'll see if they can repeat that. I want to take the Vikings. I don't think I can.
Yeah, and this
all
is
right,
the
JG.
Game that, yeah, that's, I mean, it's a game that will determine those two seasons, right? 0-2, 2-0, those teams are headed one way or the other. All right, my second game, I'm going to Indianapolis. Colts and the Rams. This reminds me of last week. We had some people on, different guests on, said, yeah, I mean, I kind of have to take the Colts, right? They're at home, good coach, good infrastructure, getting points. I mean, we're saying it again this week. No, the Colts are in trouble. I was watching some highlights of Wentz last night, just some clips. He can't move anymore. I don't know if it's just he's close to 30 now, plus the surgery just had in his foot. He can't move. They can't block. He can't move. A couple things in this game. The line went back down. It went up to 4, went back down to 3.5. I love the Rams -3.5. They're going to pressure Carson Wentz. They're going to cause turnovers. And I think the Rams will create explosive plays. Here's a side to the game, too. Colts team total 23. I don't think they're going over that total against the Rams defense. I think this is a 7 to 10 point Rams win on the road against the Colts.
Sharp money on Indy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's went right back down.
I know.
Yeah. I get where you're coming from, but I've said it time and time again this week that I was not that impressed with the Rams. Right. It was two big plays against the Bears secondary, big mistakes by Eddie Jackson, the safety, and that was it. Like, they had two big plays, Van Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, and that was their offense. That's why they ended up with 7.7 yards per play for the game. Stafford, I guess he was good. I just didn't think he was as great as everybody else was saying. The problem is, the reason I can't back the Colts is, one, you got Wentz. Look at the numbers just last week. It looks like a continuation of the previous season. One of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. And they're supposed to have a good defense, but they gave up explosive play after explosive play to Seattle. And now here's another tough team, probably a better offense in the LA Rams. They're 1-6 last seven home games against the spread. This Colts offensive line gave up 3 sacks, 10 quarterback hits. I can't back Indy. I just can't do it.
Yeah, and we saw that Wentz against the Rams last year, week 2. It was a blowout win on the road for the Rams in Philadelphia. Different teams, but we've seen this kind of matchup. He doesn't play well against this kind of defense. All right, coming over to the other side, we'll continue our favorite games. We'll look into them for week 2 in the NFL. Joe Giglio, Joe Ostrowski, Aaron Hawksworth, BetQL Daily, presented as always by FanDuel.
The biggest game this Sunday is Kansas City versus Baltimore, and FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the weekend right by winning $150 on a $5 bet. Look, I can't go away from the best quarterback of pro football. That is where my money always has to be. He is the guy, and I will take the quarterback of Kansas City to win every single time you give me a matchup. I'm going that side. Look, I love same-game parlays, and I love taking one here. Maybe the over passing yards, the over with the rush yards for the other quarterback. Just one of the reasons why I love FanDuel. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and those fast payouts are there when you win. Just sign up promo code BETQL this Sunday before the Chiefs take on the Ravens. You can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code BETQL so they know I sent you.
Must be 21 and over and present in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued at non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Virginia. In Tennessee, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net.
These Joes are helping you bet like a pro. It's Joe Ostrowski and Joe Giglio
and Aaron Hawksworth
on BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.